I just remember that I said I'll take some questions, and a few questions are here. Let me just quickly run through them. The first one, it says, can students engage in business? And please explain things that can encourage academic prosperity in students. All right. Number one, can students engage in business? Yes, you can. But whatever you do in life, just know what is primary to you and know what is secondary. Do you understand my point? If you are a student, you shouldn't do business that requires you to go away from school, that prevents you from working. Do you understand? Try and do things that are easy to do that don't disturb your work. That's the only thing I can say about that. Unless you want to leave school. If you're not planning to leave school, even when it comes to ministry, sometimes even those of us who preach, we also make that mistake. We preach so much, we don't read our books. Nothing wrong with preaching plenty. Then leave the school if you don't plan to read. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the same thing with business. If you plan to do business as a student, then do that which you can do while not disturbing your academics too much. I know students, those days when I was in school, they do photography. They have a camera. They take pictures. When I was a student, there are students that were barbers. They have a barbing kit. They have a small place. So they go there and a few hours a week. And that way, in those few hours, they make enough money. You have to be careful. Money can be tempting. That's for a lot of people. When the business starts doing well, they start getting distracted. Again, that's difficult to really balance if you're not careful. Because we know there are men who, they were students that are doing well in business, and they left and they became very successful. That's what happened to Bill Gates. The Bill Gates that we know today, off and on, the richest man in the world, he was a student when he started Microsoft. After a while, he said, this Microsoft thing is, this student thing is a waste of time. He left school and developed Microsoft, and he became the richest man in the world. If you have a computer called Dell, the same thing happened to Michael Dell. Michael Dell was also a student. Then he started doing computers. He told his father, let me go and face this business. The father said no. His father now gave him a target to meet, that if you meet it, I'll let you leave school. So he met the target, his father allowed him to leave school. And he became a billionaire before he was 40 years of age. He was worth billions of dollars. All right? So there are things like that. All right? However, it didn't work like that for most people. Sergey Brin and Larry Page, the people who started Google, they did their first degree, master's, and were doing PhD. What they call Google today was a PhD project. And they finished it. And then it now makes them one of the richest people on earth today, all right? So you have to be careful to balance it. But whatever you are doing, know whether this is just subsistence, that you just want to get some money to take care of yourself. So do something that does not distract you from your academics, not something you have to do in the morning, all right? If it's like weekends, you go to some people's homes to coach their children, all right? Good, that's good business. Like I said, some of my colleagues when I was in school, they used to do barbing. One of my classmates was a photographer. He's a surgeon today, and even did a degree in law. He's a very hardworking person. The day we're doing our swearing in as medical doctors, he was there taking pictures of other people. We told him that, Osioka, something's wrong with you. Even on your own swearing in day, you are still taking photographs. But he, medical student. And he did well. One of our very best students. But what was he doing? Photographs. He's not in class. Students like to pose, especially the girls. They like to pose. And the guy will be taking them pictures. They pay him. And he's making money. After some, they started selling books. And what kind of books was he selling? If you have a book to sell, maybe a book you're not using again, you give it to him. He will sell it for any price you say. Then you share the money. You give him 10%. And the business made him money. Because we had some books that we were not using again. Some people were broke. They are old books. Let me sell it. Some people are looking for it. So he started selling the books. So these are smart businesses that students can do without wasting their time. That one didn't used to take all his energy. After a while, everybody knew him. Osioka, do you have this book? He says, yes. In fact, that Osioka was the name of his business. His name was Osime. So he joined the thing, that became Osioka. So I call him by his business name. I had a classmate those days when bikes were allowed, before bikes became popular. He had a bike on campus. He used to do transport on campus. He was my classmate, medical student too. I used to look and say, this boy is not ashamed. It's now I know that he didn't need to shame. Once you are doing something honest, why should you be ashamed? He will ride his bike and go around, up and down. Okay? So nothing wrong. A student can do business as long as you are very careful, all right? So as not to let it take away from your time. Somebody said, why do most people who selfishly acquire more acquire money or wealth prosper more. Number one, it is not true that those who selfishly acquire more prosper more. It is totally a lie. That's all I have to say about it. They only look like they prosper more. We said that earlier, right? Yes. That if you're acquiring plenty, the world says you are getting richer. The Bible says, and you can never prove the word of God wrong. He said, there is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. He said, but there is he that withholdeth more than his meat, and he tendeth only towards what? Poverty. The people that you said are acquiring more and becoming richer, the truth is that if they had done what they were supposed to do, they would have become even richer. No. Those who do give, they don't become poorer if they are wise. Some people you think who are givers, they actually spendthrift. They don't know how to, you know, are you getting my point? I have a friend who has a brother. That his brother can dash you 200,000 naira. But you know the truth? He's just indisciplined. He doesn't have the 200,000 naira he's dashing you. So you have to be careful not to confuse useless people with generous people. There are some boys, they are very useless. If you give them 1 million naira today, by evening it's finished. What are they doing? They've gone around to do big man. Sit down somewhere. Everybody drink. Ah, you say you need something, what? You need a new computer. Oh, come now. I'll give you 200,000. Go and buy a new one. You're just trying to show off. That is a useless, that's a prodigal son. He's spending money on what the Bible calls riotous living. My friend has a brother like that. The boy ran everybody into problems. I asked him, what's your brother doing with money? He said, what else does he do with money? We just sit down and be sharing to people. A lot of people you know who you think are generous, they are not generous. They are prodigal children. They don't know how to manage money. All right? And many of the people who say they are selfishly acquiring, they may not be selfishly acquiring like you think. They are actually managing money properly. For example, somebody cannot give out the business, the money that's the capital of his business. No matter what you preach to, he's not going to give you out if he's wise. He can only give you from the profit. But you think he has money because you get to his shop, you see a lot of things, and you want to take something small, he says pay for it. Why won't you pay for it? It's a business. He can only give out from what? His profit. Sometimes people say they are selfishly acquiring. They may not be doing that. They may just be managing their business well. But you thinking that he should be able to share more, you don't realize that he doesn't have as much as you think. Because you can see a big business, but they are leveraged on bank loans and stuff like that. The man who owns it doesn't have much money. He's managing to keep the business going. So let me say it again. If you selfishly acquire money, you will not prosper more. That's my answer to that. So, please, I know that the world is bad, and I'm saying I will stay up to 100 years and some additions. Does it mean that God will wait till then? No, God is not going to wait for me. If Jesus comes back next year, I'm happy. If I say I will live up to be 100, go and read Philippians chapter 1. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, whether to depart and be with Christ, which is better, or to stay behind and do the work of God, which is more profitable for the people. I told you, life for us is an assignment. Are you getting my point? If I live to be 100, I will never retire one day. I've said that thing again and again. Till the age of 100, I will be preaching the gospel. And as long as God says preach, I will preach. It is not about the life being so sweet. What is in this life? Heaven is much better. If you log on to our website, listen to the current series I'm teaching, The High Calling. You will know that heaven is a real place. Please. The reason God knew the earth was bad when he sent you here. Did he not know that? Even when he came, the earth was bad. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Then he came there and said, let there be light. And I don't have time to teach that, but when he said, let there be light, he said, you are the light of the world. True of us? So when God said, let there be light, part of what he said, let there be you. I don't know whether he caught that. God sent me to come and put order into his life. I'm not afraid of. That's why people say, run to America. America is better. I don't believe it. I live in Nigeria. I said, I am a light. Anywhere I am must get better. I tell people, it may sound cocky. It may sound as if one is bragging. But I said, listen, Enugu is fine today. Come there. Everybody likes Enugu the way it is. I said, do you know why it's like that? They said, well, I said, because I prophesied it. When I came to town, it wasn't like that. We kept on blessing the land. We are still blessing it some more. This world is to be redeemed. He said, once again, I shake the heavens and I shake the earth. And when God said, let there be light, what he said is, let there be banky. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is my, the light he spoke is the reason why order came into the earth. And you listening to me, God said, I spoke you into existence so you can put order into the earth. This earth can be bad, though. But if you go to heaven, say, God, it is bad, so I came back home. He will put you in prison in heaven. In the army, is that not what happened? If you run away from Boko Haram, what did they do? They court-martial you. It's called cowardice. Cowardice in army is punishable by death. If they court-martial you for cowardice in the military, they shoot you. You don't know that? It's a Sambisa Forest, it's bad. I'm a soldier, I'm going back home. Paul said, endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. We are redeemers for this earth. I hope you got my point. I hope my coming blessed you, because I am leaving now. Thank you very much.